Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone-Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. I'm so sorry, Cindy, for your loss, and you were explaining a little bit about it, and I think we could use this as a little time to remind people that children and pools, all eyes always about, and you pointed out that this little baby had, you know, died drowning in a family pool, and there were a lot of people around. And it's one of the things that I found as a children's entertainer, by the way, because I did like 10,000 children's parties. If there was, I would rather have one adult watching 30 children than 30 adults watching one child, because everybody assumes it's someone else. So, you know, the more people around, sometimes this is what happens, and, you know, everybody must be so devastated. And we're just going to, you know, this is summertime. Please, 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 please keep your eye on your children. And it must be such a long day for you today.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And there's actually never any words to, you know, comfort a parent when they've lost a young child in such a tragic way. And, you know, I don't know if you know Stu Leonard, the one who has the I forget what food stores he has, but you know, he had lost his young son drowning, and you know, he's like kind of dedicated his life to educating people about, you know, preventing drownings, and it's just so sad. And children, they love water, you know. It's like they naturally want to just gravitate, and especially a hot day like this. And so, I mean, I hope you're holding up all right. I know it's like terrible and shocking, and the picture of the little girl you posted was so beautiful. She was such a beautiful little girl.
Oh, she was such, she was so damn fresh. But she was such a cutie patootie, that one. She really, really was. She made life interesting.
Oh, and I love the way, you know, you point out a little bit of her personality. And, of course, you know, some children are just extremely strong-willed.
Oh, my God, yeah. She was one of them, too. I mean, because she only learned how to walk, ironically enough, she only learned how to walk last week. But way before that, like, she would climb on everything. Like, literally, my mom was over the house when she took her first steps last Saturday, you know? So, I mean, it was just crazy. She just wanted to be up and out. And, you know, she was the kind of baby that, like, literally, you know, you would pick her up, and if you had, like, sunglasses on, you'd pick her up, and before you settled her in the crook of your arm, your glasses would be off your face, across the room, and she would smack you, you know, because she just didn't want to be held. She just always wanted to be running around, and you know, she always just wanted, she's very independent, you know, and it really, really, it hit everybody, like, very, very, you know, bad, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean,
she was
16 months old.
Strong-willed.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And, I mean, I was kind of like that, by the way, because I had three older brothers, and I wanted to do everything they wanted to do. I mean, I never thought I was a baby. And, you know, sometimes, you know, these are beings that just fell from the planet, you know, from up in heaven, and they come back strong-willed. Some of them want to be, like, 20. They want to be 20 already. They don't want to have to go to being a baby. This is her personality. She just want to be 20. Like, I don't want to be little. I want to be like the big kids and run around. And, you know, and she was obviously very precocious in that way. And,
oh, yes.
You know.
Oh, very much so.
And, you know, the problem with this is there's always guilt going around, and, you know, that's why these are accidents. I mean, you know, there's people around.
Well, and, you know, and then you've got the idiots out there, like, who don't have children that say, oh, you know, like, or they're already, you know, placing blame, you know. I mean, been in and out of those houses. Yeah, because, you know, when you don't have kids, you know, the natural reaction is, oh, she's so young. Well, you know, how did a 16-month-old get in a pool? You know what I'm saying? Like that's the immediate place that everybody goes, you know. But, you know, people that have children, especially precocious children, realize that, you know, that sometimes all it takes is 30 fucking seconds, you know, before something is completely, completely out of control. It, you know, that's all it can take, you know. I mean, and in this particular case, it took literally just that. There were kids running around. There were adults running around. You know, she was underfoot. And her mother said, can somebody remove her from the kitchen because she's going to get hurt. We've got hot things going across, thing, you know, and she just, you know, with hands full and everything else, because this kid was as independent as she was very attached to her mom, you know. So when her mother's running back and forth with trays and plates and forks and knives, this kid is right in between her legs. And she's like, my daughter's going to get hurt. Can somebody please remove her from the kitchen? So literally 30 seconds later, the kid was not in the kitchen. And she put everything down, and then she said, okay, where's my daughter? And nobody had the answer for her, you know? So literally within 60 seconds, because she knows her child, she went, well, she can't be outside because the screen door has got a lock and it's got a spring. So if you open that door, A, it's hard to open for an adult. B, if an adult lets that door go, she would have screamed because that door would have closed on her fingers because it, like, snapped shut. So she's like, well, she can't be outside. She looked in the living room. She looked, you know, where she could look on the first floor, and, like, literally a minute later, they went, oh, my God, let's check outside. They ran outside, and she was gone already.
Oh,
you know, it literally took a minute for them to find her and everything else. It was like, probably, I mean, and I asked, obviously, because I wasn't there, I asked a lot of people there, and I said, well, how long was she gone? How long was she actually out of sight? And the one aunt that was there looked at me dead in the face and said, if it was 90 seconds, it was a lot.
Wow.
You know, so like, and then it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. You know, I mean, I feel so bad, you know, for my cousin, who's her mom. I feel so bad. I mean, she could barely walk today because she's grieving. And you know what? And I feel even more bad for her because she can't even fully grieve. Because she's got a 3-year-old that she needs to keep up with. 3-year-old asking where her baby sister is every 5 minutes. You know, when we were going back to the wake yesterday, 3-year-old Lily was like, I don't want to go back there. And everyone's like, well, we have to go back there. And she said, well, can we just go and get Kylie and go home then? Because she knew that Kylie was there. She didn't understand that she couldn't take Kylie back home with her. And even today, you know, in the church, she's saying, is Kylie up there? Are we going to go home with Kylie now? Like, she doesn't get it. We've explained that Kylie is in heaven, but she doesn't understand what or where heaven is. And she thinks that, well, Kylie's going to be back any minute now, and we're going to go home. Exactly. You know, well, what time is she coming back? Because I'm done with this. You know, it's devastating. You know, it really, really is. And I'm so, you know, I put a couple of posts out, and they had a GoFundMe because, you know, obviously her parents are not well off. Her grandparents are not well off. You know, they weren't sure how the hell they were going to do everything. And so many people pitched in. They exceeded the goal. And it was a great thing that they exceeded the goal on the GoFundMe page, because when they actually saw some of the bills come in, they realized that they hadn't even asked for enough. So the fact that, you know, the fact that they were able to exceed the goal, and the fact that even though it's over goal, people are still reaching out and still donating is absolutely fantastic. You know, I mean, so it really, really was very, very heartwarming. All of the support she did receive, even though there were a couple of the idiots that were like, oh, what was the baby doing? You know, like, how come you weren't watching her? And all that shit.
Yeah, you know,
the outpouring of love outweighed all those idiots.
And anybody who's been a parent or babysat for a child or been your children, you know, all of us who have children, by the grace of God, our children didn't die somehow when we were turned around not looking for 60 seconds, okay? That somehow, you know, a miracle, you know, saved them. And, you know, why one child stays
and it is
miraculously
a miracle.
In another. It's a miracle.
In today's world, if your child disappears for a couple of minutes out of your sight and you get them back, by today's standards, it is a fucking miracle that you get your kids back.
Absolutely. And just, you know, the reason I wanted
you
to share this is because
take it for granted.
It is still summertime. There are pools, mm-hmm. there are hot tubs, there are things in the, you know, that sometimes we just think we're not going to seal up the hot tub fully because we're going to be back in half an hour, you know, things like that.
Yep.
Just, you know, as much as a pain it is to seal these things up, as much make sure you lock the gates, eyes are about. And it's one of the things I really did learn as a children's entertainer. Too many people watching is worse than not enough. Because
oh
it always
God,
seems
yeah.
like somehow somebody thinks someone's eyes there. And you would be surprised how many times I was the one being the clown or Cinderella. My job was not to be the babysitter. Mine was the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'd look across the thing and go, oh, my God, the baby's going in the pool. Like nobody saw it but
yeah.
me. But I mean, there were 50 adults there. I mean, that wasn't my
oh,
job
yeah,
to go see who's going in the pool. But
It's absolutely crazy. And you know what? What's ironic about it is that when I finally told people what had happened, because this only happened on Sunday, you know, I was at Robert Moses and I was witnessing like this beautiful shark getting pulled out of the water and thrown back in. And, it started out being a very good day. And then I got that news. A shark. Yeah, but that was on my Facebook, too. A gorgeous, dusky shark. Yeah, it was, I mean, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, like, that's so awesome. We had the lightning storm before, and I was like, wow, God's around. You know, like, that's what I thought. I was like, you know what, God is around. I'm like, we had that lightning storm, but no storm. You know, we had, you know, I saw this beautiful shark, you know, this prehistoric animal literally get pulled onto shore and then get saved because the guys that actually, they were just surf fishing. They weren't expected to catch a shark, you know. I mean, so, like, they weren't even cast that deep, but there were kids in the water. You know, and all of a sudden they start reeling this thing in, and it winds up being a shark, and the shark went completely out of sight. So, you know, he could have bit somebody for all we know if they hadn't caught him, because he was very close to the shore. You know, the waves were big and bringing him in, and it was big for a child. It was big for us. It was kind of small, but he was about like 4 or 5 feet, probably about 200 pounds, 250 pounds. You know, I mean, he was a baby still, you know. Those sharks get up to 17 feet. So I'm like, I'm looking at all this miraculous stuff, and then that happened. And I was like, you don't even know what to say. You really don't even know what to say.
Life is not easy for anybody, I will tell you this much. And, you know, it's you know, for what I do for a living, I deal with this all the time with grieving parents and people. You know, it's just so sad. Sometimes it's just so sad. I mean, I went to lunch with my friend today, which took a little break, and it was live after 5, and people were being happy and celebrating, and I thought, oh, this is really nice. And then, you know, after I do this show, I have a lot of hard readings to be doing, like about people
mm-hmm.
who have lost young children. And it's
oh,
one
God.
Of the things that's just the hardest part of my job. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's just, sometimes I say, dear God, where is the mercy? You know, where is mercy
yeah.
on people? And those of you who, you know, are so blessed, and I'm going to cry, those of you so blessed with children, give them an extra hug tonight, an extra
yep.
kiss. Be just so grateful. I mean, there are just so many times
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back, you know, raising Shauna, where, you know, God, thank God that little mishap turned out to be just a little mishap and not a death, you know? I mean, it's just,
oh yeah.
you know, as much as we watch our children, they could dart in the street. You know, they just stuff that
oh,
you just
anything
you
could
start
happen.
In the street.
Anything could happen.
And, you know, that's why, you know, everyone will say a little prayer for your family and beautiful Kaylee. And the comfort is that she's with God and, her, you know, an angel, spirit guide. She's in a good place. But, oh, man, you know, I was just so blown away by to hear that. It's just the saddest thing.
Yeah.
It is the summer news sometimes. So, again, if you have children, of course, all eyes about. Just we can learn from these things. You know, accidents happen. We can almost not prevent every single thing, but just maybe being a little bit more aware of what.
Well,
could
you know
happen.
What? Even in the simplest thing, you know, I mean, if you're at, you know, in public, or if you've got a lot of adults around you, you know, or if you're not paying attention, you're only paying half attention, assign somebody. You know, don't just assume that, oh, you know what, I'm around a lot of people. You know, I'm partially watching, I'm keeping an eye, and everybody else will catch what I don't. You know, just assign somebody, say, hey, listen, you know what, I'm a little bit distracted right now. Can you please watch? You know, because then it makes things a little bit easier, a little bit less, a little bit less dangerous
exactly.
for certain things.
And
you
also,
know, I mean,
when you
just,
are watching children by a pool, please put the texting down. Put your cell phone down and watch. Put your cell phone down.
Yeah.
Okay, because just answering
and
a quick text for a minute or two, anything can happen.
Yep, I mean, and if you have pool rules, make sure that somebody is in charge of making sure that those rules are followed. Because in this particular case, like I said, the house was like Fort Knox. You know, she asked the baby to be removed from a room, and it was a child that took her out. It was a child that failed to watch, but had the other children close the gate as they were yelled at to several times that day. You know, they had gotten in trouble. They were all told to get out of the pool at one point because they left the gate open and they knew the baby was around. And they said, that's it, everybody out of the pool. Everybody's getting time out. You can go back in 20 minutes. That gate stays shut when you're not in the pool, you know. Or even when you're getting in the pool, you got to close the gate behind you. The kids got punished for leaving the gate open, and yet the gate was left open. And had that gate been shut, we would not be having this conversation right now. You know, so, and, you know, there was a 9-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, you know, I mean, and there were, you know, kids coming and going. They were unfamiliar with the backyard, but you need to make sure that rules are being followed and that somebody is there to enforce them. Because like I said, you know, there were precautions all over the yard. And in this particular case, what failed was the fact that the rules were not enforced.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so sorry for that news today. It was like the worst news. We do have a million callers today, which I'm surprised on a hot day like this
we
have so many callers. So
I'll tell you why, because everybody's in
the
air conditioning.
I think so. So I'm going to go to the 3329 because that's Abby. And then the next one I'm going to go down to is the 8060 because I know who they are. And then you could maybe screen one or two more because we're going to try to get as many callers in as we can tonight.
All right.
So
you got it.
If you want to talk to us, by the way, you do have to press 1. Very important that you press the number 1.
You have to press 1. This way I get a little notification, and then we know that you want to talk. So, all right. So you go to Abby, and I will run in the chat room, and I'll see who else we can get lined up for you.
Okay, perfect. Hello, Abby. You're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. It's very nice of you to call in today. We always like to hear from you. You've been a long-term listener to the show and call in and share your story. And, you know, you might want to fill in our listeners a little bit. Thank you for giving me the email because I have a heads up about what you want, but maybe you could fill them in a bit.
Sure. Well, we've been discussing over the past year about a soulmate that I work with. And it looks like at first things looked promising, but the last time we talked, you had said that he kind of wasn't ready to get into a relationship because of his bad divorce.
Exactly. He's scared. He's very scared. And now you don't even know if he's, you know, you said something about you don't know if he's even working anymore there or something to that effect.
Right, yes. Yes, he was supposed to be having a transfer in the next few months, and I have not literally seen him in over 3 months.
Wow. And it looks like, you know, he's a person that you don't want to hold out waiting for him forever because, you know, he's got to make up his mind. What I'm saying, he's got to make up his mind what he wants to do with the rest of his life and if he wants a relationship. But I know you were concerned, is there another person and possible? And what I'm getting is, yes. We have more than one soulmate, by the way. And at this point, you know, you've been out of a relationship for a while. You're divorced. You're ready for one. You know, he may not be ready for 10 more years and, you know, 5 more years. I don't think you want to wait for him that long, do you? You want to?
No.
Right. So the universe realizes you didn't do anything to not make this work, okay? You've done everything you can. But, you know, if he's not going to step up to the plate and be ready, they are getting another man in alignment here for you. So you may want to, like, put it on your kind of wish list that you really do want a relationship and, you know, maybe make some plans. How can I go about meeting someone? You know, maybe signing up for a class or doing something where you can meet some new people, because you could use a little bit more of a support system in general in your life. Like a nice soulmate friend, and maybe through that person you could meet this guy. It looks sooner than later, by the way, so keep your eyes, you know, out. Is there anybody else at work you're interested in? Is there any other potentials there?
Well, the only person that is already married, so that's not going to work. So
yeah, no, we don't want that.
Neither do I.
No, and so that's why you've got to, like, expand your world, because if, you know, you've sort of, you know, there's nobody left in the job pool there for you, then, you know, do you do anything outside of work where you can meet people? Do you try to do that?
I've been trying to be more social, but I am not as social as I would like to be.
Okay, so maybe we can, like, kind of make a plan where, you know, at least every other week you get out of your comfort zone and, you know, go out and do something that you might not have done, but it could lead to making some new friends. You know, it doesn't have to be anything major, but, you know, there's meetups, there's things, there are events that take place that you can maybe get yourself out and going to. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money or spend money, but it's, you know, big money, but it's just, you know, even if your local libraries have events, there are, like, a lot of things. There are meetups. A lot of my clients say they meet people at meetups. And the meetups could be for a fundraiser, you know, something like that. But if you would get out there, you would certainly start to meet some new people. And, you know, that's a big change here, because love is right on the horizon for you. And then work-wise, you know, you're still staying with your job, but you're thinking of another position in it. Is that what else you were thinking
yes.
about? Okay, and do you have to take a test or anything for this now, or do you just...
Yes. Actually, for one of the positions, I would have to take some tests.
Okay, because I'm seeing you would do well on the test, by the way. So, are you nervous about taking them?
Yes, very much. They're very hard.
I know they're very hard. Do you have any... way of studying? Are there course books and things you can get a hold of?
No, unfortunately not. The way they give the tests, like, they're different every time. So no, not in this case.
Okay, but do they have any sample tests at all that you can look at? Because sometimes it helps just looking at them, so you can know if it's a lot of spelling or math or, you know, what is it that they stress. Because, you know, just even taking some practice tests can be helpful. I mean, even if they're not exactly the same or not even close, it gives you an idea of the kind of stuff they're going to ask. But ultimately, you got really good cards on a promotion. And so maybe that could be part of your goals are, like, I want a promotion and I want love. Those are, like, two very doable cards here for you. So... you know, the important thing is are you so afraid of the test that you haven't, you know, signed up for them, or do they give them periodically, or do you have to sign up? How do these things work?
I have to wait for the announcement to come out for this particular one, and it's not supposed to come out for that one until November. So I was trying to decide, do I go for a promotion to a higher position, or do I wait for this program to open up, which is, like, basically a two-year commitment?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, that looks good. You know, go for it. Don't be nervous about it. Go for it. You actually have extremely good cards, by the way. You know, I keep shuffling them, and there's a lot of negative cards in a deck. You're not getting them. This is love. This is better money. This is actually a kind of a peaceful five-year period opening up, by the way. And even within that five-year period, I see some reconnecting with your children, which I know is important to you. So
yes.
These are really, really nice cards. You know, I felt bad about this, you know, what we were talking about, and I knew you were going to get on the phone because I knew your children are alive, but they're sort of, you can't access them right now because of your crazy ex. And,
yeah.
You know, what I'm seeing is even that changing, your children coming around, and this being a really, really good five-year period. So you don't have anything negative. You just have, yeah, your life's a little in limbo still, and you would like it to kind of move along. And maybe you can kind of tell God, I'm a little tired of this kind of like stagnant. And I know sometimes calm, I mean, you've had a little bit of calm, which is what you needed, okay, because your life was so chaotic. But now you need a little bit of like, not chaos, but a little bit of like excitement, change, good things coming. And that's what's indicating, you know, in these cards. So you have extremely good cards. We have more than one soulmate. It looks like another one's going to be brought into alignment with you because this man just really looks like, you know, his divorce looks really brutal. And some people just don't swing back from a divorce that quickly if it's really bad like this one is.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be really traumatic. Well, you know what that's like. It kind of knocks you off your game.
I mean,
think about how long have you been separated or divorced now? How long?
Almost 5.5 years.
Okay, and how, you know, maybe a year ago were you starting to feel like now I can change my life and I want love and things? It took you a while too. So
yes,
that's why
definitely.
It looks like with this guy it's going to be 4 or 5 years before he figures out what he wants to be doing. And the universe wouldn't expect you to wait that long, that you deserve something better. So, you know, your cards are extremely good. I'm always glad to hear from you because we've watched you grow and heal and really come out of like a tornado into like now, you know, you're finally standing on some solid ground. Do you feel that way a little bit?
Most definitely.
Okay, so, you know, you couldn't even have a relationship brought into your life while you're still in the middle of that tornado. You know what I mean? Things are kind of calm, now you can show the real, you know, Abby, who, you know, the real Abby, who's a really good person, really fun. We're in the middle of a mess. It's very hard to show the best side of us. I mean, it's not there for a while. So you have a lot to offer. You know, be a lover to yourself a little bit. You know, try to pamper yourself a little bit. You know, do some really healthful and good things for yourself. Are you trying to do that a bit?
Yes, I am trying to do that more.
Good, because this way, you know, it kind of, that self-love, we have to come to that place of self-love. And if we don't have self-love, it's really hard to manifest and keep a soulmate. So this, my little assignment for you is do the little things that make you love yourself, you know, that make you feel better, look better. But other than that, you have really good cards. I'm not worried about you. They look really good. And if you
Thank
remember,
you
we've had some read. We've had some readings where I told you things. It doesn't look great. We got to work on this. This is not. You're just ready for your whole life to change. So and for the better, really good changes. So you know, I'm always so glad when you call in and, you know, watch you go from, you know, darkness to light because it's all light in these cards.
Great news. Thank you very much.
Well, good luck to you, and don't forget where we are, by the way.
I'll let you know, hopefully, when some things change, so thank you.
Okay, good luck. Good night.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now I'm going to go over to Crystal.
That's the 806, though, right, Sin?
Yes, because she's been a long-time client as well. You know, some of these people I've done private readings for, so I kind of know them a little bit personally. So let me go over to Crystal, who's absolutely gorgeous and smart. And I just love
Hi.
All right, Crystal,
hello,
you
Crystal.
Are on the
so,
air.
So, you know, you've been trying to, like, get your career going in everything, correct?
Yes, I've been getting my career. Can you hear me okay?
Sure, we can hear you great.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've been getting my career going, and it's finally starting to just pick up, and I feel like I'm headed in the right direction career-wise, although it's taken quite a lot longer than I expected.
Yeah, well, that like, life has a funny way with that, doesn't it? We think, you know, we'll build it and they come. is kind of we build it, we slick it up, and we work really, really, really hard. And then
yeah.
they come. And, you know, it is with a lot of careers, and especially since you're trying to be a little bit of an independent contractor and you're really good at your job. Money-wise looks very, very good here, by the way. Your dad's very excited. Your dad, who has passed away, for my listeners that don't know, your dad is on the other side. He's very excited about your new job prospects. You were offered this is pretty new what you're doing, right? It's a new place.
Well, I'm in outside sales, and I'm actually repping for three different companies at the same time.
Wow.
I'm trying to figure out, because the first one with the medical device, I've been working like for 4 months and I haven't made a sale. So then I picked up a skincare line and another aesthetic product, and they're doing really well. Like, I'm just starting to get my momentum with them, but it's a lower price point, so it takes longer to make the really good money, whereas the medical device, but one sale, it's pretty good money. So I'm just kind of sticking with it still, because I've worked so hard for 4 months, like training myself in the field, and I'm just going to just see what happens.
Right. And again, you know, do you believe in these products? Are they good products?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
So that makes it a lot easier to sell something when you believe in it.
Right.
I mean, if we don't believe in it, then you know, of course, we can't sell. So I'm seeing these are good products that you know you're going to make good money. Your love life, you're supposed to be with a soulmate soon. Do you have a love life going on yet of significance?
Well,
There's a nice soulmate showing up here.
Well, I've been in a relationship since March, and well, it was really good until about 4 weeks ago, because he's up in New York right now. And, you know, we had conversations and decided we wanted to be in a committed relationship, and I mean, absolutely wonderful. He flew down to see me in July, and about 5 days after he left, he started getting really quiet. I'm like, okay, what's going on? So I finally got him on the phone. I'm like, what is going on? You need to talk to me. And pretty much he said he's miserable every day. He's depressed because he can't see me. He wants to see me every day, and he can't. It's like he doesn't know how to handle the distance right now. And he's coming back in October or November. And I'm just kind of beside myself, because I'm trying to tell him, you can't just break our connection and everything that we've worked towards together with what we have now. I'm like, breaking our connection is not going to make anything better. We still miss each other. You know, you're still there, I'm still here right now. And I was trying to tell him that, you know, to keep our relationship strong and not lose what we have, that not by not contacting me and stopping our daily communication and our mental relationship together, for, you know, because we used to talk on the phone all the time, text, Skype, is not the answer. You know,
right, because you need for long distance,
yeah.
you need to Skype. You need
right.
to talk. You need to connect. And if you don't do it, it's not going to work. And, you know, you were right in telling him that. I mean, you know, you've obviously been following a lot of what we teach here for a long time, but it's like, no, we can get through this, but you can't
That's
pull
what
away.
I said. Right. I said we can work through this together. That's what relationships are all about, and it will make us even stronger. And I said, I think you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself with the distance. And this all transpired on Sunday night via text message. because I wanted to make sure I was very clear in what I was saying and that he could go back and read it again.
And how has he responded now to it?
So that was Sunday night, and I haven't heard from him since.
Okay, we're not loving this, okay, here, okay? This is, you know, this is what men do when they have commitment issues, and sometimes even getting involved with you when he knew he had to leave made it easier for him to get involved with you because it sort of, he had a little bit of escape clause, and maybe he thought it wasn't going to hurt so much when he was gone. But this is not the way to love a woman. I mean, did you see the movie Brooklyn yet, by the way?
No.
I would advise everybody to watch that because I'd love to write a blog about this. He knew how to love a woman, okay? You know, he met her, and he was Italian, and she was Irish, and they met at a little social club for Irish. And, you know, he just liked Irish girls. And right away, he doesn't deceive her. He tells her, I'm not Irish. He tries to tell the truth. He pursues her. She's working very hard. You know, she's going to school, and he says, well, I'll go with you on the bus to school so we can talk. You know, so he wants to see her. Goes to the bus, and, you know, afterwards I'll follow you home. I'll take you home. And then, you know, on your day off, we have to see each other. He kept, you know, wanting to see her and told her he loved her even when she wasn't ready. And then she goes back to Ireland, and she gets a little confused, and she's not writing back to him, and he keeps writing to her regardless. And, you know, finally, I'm not going to tell you everything about the movie, but the point is he knew how to pursue this woman. He knew he loved her and that he would have to keep the connection open even if she wasn't ready for it, even if she was scared. And this is not modern. This was supposedly taking place in the 50s, 1950s. That's how people used to love people, by the way. They used to pursue them. They used to not think there's 400 better women on Tinder, so maybe I better not commit, or I'm not sure I'm ready for this. So he's showing already, and the five-month point is really pretty strong. I mean, I'm not saying this isn't a strong soulmate connection here, because it is, but around 5 months onto six is when the prince can become the beast, okay, when they start pulling stuff that you're not happy about. And, you know, you're going to have to be strong enough to tell him, look, if you're not, you can't just ghost and disappear, because this is what he's doing. He's ghosting. Okay. You know, because men do it so often, your generation doesn't freak. When I was with a guy who did this ghosting when I was 19, nobody ghosted in those days. Really, they didn't. Only assholes like this guy was. I mean, I'd be like checking the morgue. Is he dead? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
I mean,
He's younger. He's younger than me. He's 27.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised because that generation has a lot of commitment issues.
Well,
he's
ready to settle down, and he's like an old soul, actually.
All right, but
his actions are not
saying I'm ready to settle down. His actions are saying I'm a narcissist who doesn't care how I'm hurting you. I mean, this is really narcissistic to not answer somebody and leave them wondering what's going on. So it's a little, don't ignore that red flag. Don't make excuses for abuse. I couldn't do this to somebody. I couldn't just leave them wondering where I am or what I'm doing. But because he's of a different generation than you are, okay, he's a different generation. And those men have learned to be the masters over women, by the way. You can be my fuck buddy, but not my girlfriend. Don't call me, I'll call you. Now I'm going to ghost you, and you should be happy with it. And I don't know if I can handle this, so, you know, when I'm ready, I'll come back. You know, you might have to really nip this in the bud. In other words, this is not what you signed on for, that you didn't sign on for a man who's going to do this, and that, you know, if this is how he's going to behave, you know, this is not what you want. And you can't be afraid you're going to lose him, because you're losing him already. He's already, right now, he's already calling all the shots. This is his way or no way right now. So in telling him, you know, we have this great connection, what I want more than anything is to be with you. But that generation tends to, by the way, do this kind of, well, I'm not near you. Well, they just break up for 2 months and they start seeing other people, and they don't consider that they've broken up. You know, that it's not bad because they've broken up with you. So he's pulling something that I'm not happy about here. So it's like, why can't you talk to me? Are you seeing other people? What are you doing that you can't talk to me? you know, and
yeah, I don't know what to do.
Well, you have no choice but to tell him. First of all, do not chase him anymore. You text him, wait till he contacts you. Yeah, I don't care if it's 2 weeks he doesn't contact you. Because if you keep chasing him, he's going to run. And remember, he's a different generation. Those men run. They run.
Mm-hmm.
And they call all the shots. And he's been with women probably of his generation who have allowed this, by the way. They allow it. So they get away with this. They can say, well, you were my girlfriend, but now I don't want that. You can be my booty call. Okay. So what you're going to do is not contact him. You know, wait till he contacts you, and then you're going to ask him, what's your intention in contacting me? Is it so we're going to have a relationship in which we connect, in which we talk, in which we are the way we started, not like this, because this is not what I want. I don't want a man who calls all the shots. I don't want a man who doesn't think I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread and, you know, wants to commit to me. I mean, there is an age difference here. It's kind of significant, by the way. And, you know, people might be telling him, you know, she's too old for you. This isn't going to work. He may be talking to people about it. Maybe he's going to use that as an excuse to run. But you've got to make sure that when he connects with you, you say, if we're going to have something, it's going to have to be the way it was, or I can't do this. You know, love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. Right now, he's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He doesn't know what he wants. And, you know, believe me, he's scared. This is commitment phobia. He's scared. You know, you are older. He says he wants to commit, but then his friend's like, why do you want to commit to her? Why don't you just screw around a little longer? You don't have to commit to them. I mean, really, the amount of my female clients that allow men to do this, come and go, is astronomical. I just can't believe it. It is a sisterhood of women. You women have really taught men some bullshit. You've taught them they can come and go. This is a worse master over women of all times, by the way. It is the worst master. They don't want to provide for women. They don't want to grow up, and yet they want to come and go. So, at the 5 months and to 6 months, by the way, you start seeing some people's true behaviors. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your daughter. If a man did this to your daughter, how mad would you be?
Pretty angry.
Pretty angry.
I'm
and just, older souls
I'm like
tend to...
I'm beside myself because of our communication has been phenomenal since
phenomenal,
we met each other.
Of course.
Phenomenal.
Of course.
Like,
it's the soul. Yeah. I got the soulmate card. No matter how many times I shuffle it, you have the heart, soul, mind, body connection.
Right.
But what happens with soulmate love is so strong, the love, that momentarily it can overcome fear. But around the five on to six, the fear starts kicking in. And then they start running, start sabotaging it, start watering it down. And, you know, that's what he's doing right now. And if you... You know, allow
He's
him
actually
to
told
do this.
Me. He told me in a conversation that he used to have this fear and he doesn't have it anymore. And he wants our relationship. And he told me.
And when
me
did he tell you this?
Fear.
And when did he tell you that?
April. I guess
okay,
it was in
so,
April.
But that's because that was only 1 month into it, and the fear is and the love is so strong it overcomes fear. Then the fear comes back.
Okay.
Because the fear of commitment is, you know, it's in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love. There's a million reasons why people fear commitment. They fear it because they fear loving someone who could die in them. They fear growing up. You know, they fear they have to relive their parents' marriage. There's a lot of stuff that kicks in and makes people afraid. And that's what's happening right now. And yet this is so prevalent behavior in that generation, he doesn't even think it's abnormal because all his friends do it. All the men do this. They think this is perfectly normal. And because the younger generation allows it, a lot of women, I have clients who are 25, they've never had a relationship. They've had a lot of fuck buddies, but they've never had a relationship. So it's you not chasing. If you start chasing him, he's really going to run. So, you know, have you been trying to text him and get him to respond to you? Is that what you've been doing?
Since Sunday night? No, I haven't. Let's see. I think he called me on Friday. We talked. For a bit, and because we had a conversation maybe about 10 days ago where he said, you know, he couldn't handle the distance and all this stuff, and I'm like, well, I don't like the distance either. I said, but
it's a temporary distance. It's a temporary
distance.
I know.
He's coming back in
just a few months. So he's playing the game of blemish. He's looking for some reason to run away. Okay, right now it's the distance. Later on, he may say it's your age. Now, what it really is he's afraid of love. Okay, because, you know, if anybody ever saw you, you're so gorgeous and physically beautiful and look so young for your age. I mean, it's not like he's not getting a great package here, okay?
Right,
but
right.
He could use that as an excuse. And so, yes, he's afraid. Do you know about his parents' dysfunction, by the way? Do you know about that marriage at all?
Yeah, I know a little bit about it. Yeah, his father.
Because, well, because, you know, he's got either a dead grandmother or a great-grandmother, but knows the situation talking and basically saying, okay, you know who this woman would be? She seems to have loved him very much, by the way. And, you know, she's saying he's a good guy. It's just, you know, he's an otherwise nice person doing something very cruel. What he's doing to you is cruel. But, you know, when you have a committed relationship, you have to relive a lot of your aspects of your parents' relationship. And you start realizing love's a lot harder than you thought. It has a lot of ups and downs. And it's a lesson in not judging your parents. But that generation is so adamant saying they're not going to be their parents. They're not going to get divorced. They're not going to do any of that. And meanwhile, so they're not having any relationships. You know, if you're never going to get a divorce, you're never going to have a breakup, they never have a relationship because relationships are hard. So right now, he's really a little bit confused. Do you know him to drink, by the way?
He stopped drinking 3 years ago.
Because it looks like he's starting to drink again. Okay.
What?
Now, is he in New York near friends? Who is he near?
He's staying with his mom up in Westchester, and all his friends are up there, sure.
Yep, because now all of a sudden he's with his stupid jackass friends, and he's starting to they're all saying, why? You don't want to get committed. You don't want to be committed to someone. Are you kidding me? Go look at Tinder. Look at these apps. There's 400 women that want you, and he looks like he's been drinking or smoking pot or doing something, but he's been distracting the last couple of days. So that's something going on here, too. So know that he's not going to tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. If he stopped drinking 3 years ago, which is good because, you know, at 25, God calls people alcoholics, and that generation tends to be binge alcoholics. They drink to get drunk, and I'm glad he has stopped drinking, but it looks like he's got some friends that are not a great influence on him. And why did he have to go back to Westchester? What was the reason?
For work. He works 6 months out of the year up there. Just for maybe this year and maybe next year, because he's saving up money to start his own business in Florida. So it's just a temporary thing.
Okay, but, you know, I'm just giving you a little heads up that he's distracting with his stupid friends.
I kind of was thinking that. I was thinking that his friends must be talking to him. I felt like he was being influenced by others. That's what I was picking up,
And that's what's happening here, especially Westchester, by the way, because my husband comes from Westchester. Westchester is a kind of white bread area, okay, where, you know, things are like people have to be the right size, shape, color, age, this kind of thing. These people, you know, are probably saying, what, are you kidding me? Now, they haven't met you. They have nothing, don't know anything about you. But this is what's going on in his head, and they're confusing him. Now, that's kind of like the movie Brooklyn, because when she went back to Ireland, they were trying to get her to stay there and, you know, convince her that she belongs in Ireland. So she was being very influenced by that. That's why she wasn't responding back, you know, to her. She actually had married the guy, her husband, because these people were influencing her. So it was only when one of the little gossipy people in Ireland says something that she realizes, oh, my God, you know I know why I don't want to be here. So, you know, he's being very influenced by these people. And, you know, I'm sure if he told his mother about your age, she isn't going to be a happy camper.
I swore him to secrecy. I told him he wasn't allowed to tell anybody.
And again, he's kind of a blabbermouth a bit, and maybe he'd been drinking or whatever they were doing, but it looks like some of the can of worms was opened. So, and believe me, soulmates have differences. They have age differences, race differences, color differences, everything differences, religious. So it's not unusual that soulmates would have this difference. And you're lucky, at least there's a word cougar or something. There was no word like that ever for this. So know that he's being very influenced by these people. So,
isn't he afraid that he's going to lose me? I mean,
well, he has to fear losing you more than loving you. That's why I'm trying to tell you. You don't chase after
him. Right.
If you're chasing after him, he's going to say, well, I can keep running because I got her. If you stop chasing after him, he's going to get scared. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose her. So that's what you want him to be aware that you're, he's going to lose you. And, again, do not contact him. Wait till he contacts you and just say, what's your intention? Is it to go back to what we had, soulmates, connected? If not, I really can't do this. I really don't need a fuck buddy. I don't need a friend. I got plenty of friends. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be firm. And, you know, you can ask him, okay, you're being influenced by the people. What's the problem? But, you know, I don't want this. And I want a man who knows that I'm the one he wants to be with, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm the one. And that I'm not interchanged with other people. I mean, what I see is that he's, you know, he does miss you. When he puts his head in the pillow at the end of the night, he does think about you. But, he's got some friends that you wouldn't like, I'm telling you right now. And they're extremely immature. I mean, the generation is immature. I mean, they're 27 going on 17. And, you know, so, you know, he might have been mature for his age, but now when he's back with these people, he's being influenced. So, again, never in the, you know, watch some of the Turner movies. Watch those things in the 40s and the 50s. People committed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They got married. They thought, oh, my God, she loves me. She wants to be with me. I mean, it's not like this now. People are like, I'm not sure I want this. I probably make a lot of my money doing readings on this. They close and then the people run away. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
I know.
And it's like I hear it all day long, and I'm finally like, if women do not start sticking together and just saying, no, this is not what I signed on for. I mean, it's because the men have gotten away with it. And women will just say, okay, you know, so we're not going to talk to each other every time. I love it. They seeing each other for 4 months. Everything's perfect. And around the five-month mark, like this, the fears kick in, and now they don't want to see you so much. Or now they're working overtime. There's too much work. They can't see you. This is all nonsense. A man makes time for a woman. He finds time for her. And, you know, maybe he doesn't want to Skype you right now or talk to you because he wants to fool around with his friends and act like he's 12. And he doesn't want you to see that he's doing that. And, you know, if he's sort of broken up with you a little bit, then maybe you can just go have fun with somebody else because, you know, this is what that generation does. I'm just giving you a heads up. They always break up with each other for a brief period of time, then they, like, fool around with somebody. But it's really a narcissistic rung on the ladder of love. It's not going to last. And then they come back because, well, it's okay. We weren't together during the period of time.
That was my line of thinking as well. I thought that,
right,
too.
And, again, it's common with that particular generation, by the way. It's very common. So, you know, you might just want to let him chase you a little bit. Don't even pick up right away. Let him wait a day from the time he contacts you before you let him sweat it out. It's funny how when the shoe's on the other foot, it doesn't feel so great to be sitting there waiting and wondering if she's going to get back to me. But, again, you're a good catch. And for him to do this is, you know, immature. But, you know, again, because it's such an immature generation. But in the past, a 27-year-old was a man. People had babies by the time they were 27. They had, you know, a couple of kids. This is like immaturity city. And, you know, I see it now with men in their 40s, by the way. They're still doing this. Oh, I'm not sure I want this. I'm not sure I want to commit. I'm not sure about it. You're 48. You're 47. What the hell's the matter with you? When are you going to be ready? You know what I'm talking about. So it is what happened to men. Now,
I don't know.
I don't think they would have been this immature, but now women are all mommy to boys, a flip side of the archetype of master-slave where men owned women. But men, when they owned women, at least they made the money. They gave us a home, security, children. What are women getting out of this boy? They're like boys. And so, you know, what I'm seeing is he feels a very strong connection to you. You know, right now he's scared. But, you know, you could nip this in the bud by, like, it's all or nothing with me. I don't do this.
Yeah.
I don't do this. We're close, and now you could be my booty call. I don't do this. Right. Love is we get close and we get closer. Not we get close, mm-hmm. but I don't know if I can handle this. So
right.
this is like, and if he says, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that, you have to be very firm and say, well, and say, okay, well, if I'm still around when you grow up or you wake up, then, you know, give me a call. But by then I might not be here. So,
right, exactly.
You know, just stay very calm. Don't get emotional. Don't be crying. Don't be
I
carrying
have been,
on.
I've been good. I haven't been hysterical crying on the phone. I've been very calm, kept my cool, not freaking out, you know, so that's been good.
Right.
Every time I've spoken to him, I've been very calm. And
right, and just be very matter of fact, by the way. Be a little bit matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you
yeah.
know, you know that, you know, first of all, he feels the same things you feel, okay? It's just that he's scared. And
okay.
again, you know, 45% of people are offered soulmate love. 1% actually maintain it, by the way, over the long haul. So, you know that, you know, this is something that's determining how the rest of your relationship will be.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to start where he can just, you know, pull all this on you. You don't want to start with this where he can come and go as he pleases. It's not good.
Oh, no.
I mean,
yeah,
my clients who have stood firm with the guidance, do not contact, be firm. It's like a 50-50 crapshoot which way it's going to go mm-hmm. with these guys. But if you let them keep, you know, doing what they're doing, forget it. You're never going to have a relationship. At least if you do this,
right.
there's a 50% chance he'll come back the way you want him. If you don't, if you
right.
play him with this way, it's 100% chance you'll leave him eventually because you'll be tired of it. It might take a year. But you'll get tired of it. You'll be like, I can't do this.
Right.
This is not what I signed on for. And, you know, I
you
wouldn't be surprised
saw...
if he doesn't contact you tonight. You know, his soul is
you
hearing
think
us. His soul is
you
hearing
think he's
us right
going
now.
To?
Going, his soul is going, I feel somebody talking about me and what's going on here. And So, you know, don't be surprised. You know, email me and let me know, but... You know, his grandmother saying, I'm putting a thought right in his head right now. You're going to lose that girl. So,
good. I hope she needs to do that, absolutely, because that's what's going to happen. And I'm so upset because I'm not going to chase him. And that's why I'm so upset, because he's going
right.
to lose me. He's got
right.
to do something.
Right. He's got to man up, okay?
And that's what I was going to say. He has to man up. Mm-hmm.
He's got
up
and that's
game,
what your dad.
You know,
you know, you heard your dad, because your dad just told me. Tell her he's got to man up. So you heard your
yeah.
dad at the same moment I heard him.
Yeah, I was
okay.
just thinking that.
Oh my God! So you know what your father said?
Great.
Get him to man up. And again, your dad has always said to me, when he met your mother from the first day, he wanted to be with her. He didn't think there was anybody
right.
better. He committed to her. To the day he
right.
died, he committed to her. So
yeah.
think about that. Don't you want a man like that?
Yep, absolutely.
And none of this, like, game-playing stuff?
Yeah, this is bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It is bullshit. Right,
mm-hmm.
so.
Absolutely.
So do me a favor and email me. Keep me informed.
Okay,
and,
I will.
I'm so glad you called in today because, you know, there's probably at least 50 listeners with the same
situation
and going, oh, right, now I know what I have to do.
Yep.
So, but it's the more that women do this, the less men will pull this nonsense. So,
okay.
you know, well, good luck to you and thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
We're just about
Thank
at the end
so
of
much.
Our show. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, Nicole, do you hear this nonsense with the men? Oy, oy, oy. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe what people will do. It's just shocking to me. And, well, anyway, we're at the end of our show. I'm not sure if Nicole's still on the line. It looks like I might have
I
lost
am.
Her. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I
no,
lost
I'm
you here.
Here.
But well, isn't it kind of shocking to hear how these men can't commit or they come forward and then they run away?
No. Doing this show, no, it's not shocking at all.
Oh, boy. Boy, it's just...
Doing this show, we hear it so... And one of these days, these guys and even the women out there are going to learn that, you know, you're so concentrated on the grass being greener on other, in other people's yards, but You know what? I got newsflash for everybody. The grass is greener where you water it. So if you sit there and you take care of the relationships that are in front of you, there's no reason to jump the fence.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'm so glad we did our show today. Again, my condolences to your family. And
thank you very much, Cindy.
Oh, man. And I hope our listeners really heed what we said. Please, please watch the babies, watch the kids in the pool, all eyes on the pool.
Absolutely.
Not on the texting. I mean, a lot of times I'm watching people watching their kids too much texting, and I'm really watching the kids, you know, so keep your eyes
on
those.
Well, if you're texting newsflash, you're not watching the children if you're texting.
Right. So put the phone down. The text can wait. Well, we'll speak
Absolutely.
Next week, and thanks everybody for sharing our show tonight and calling in and sharing your stories with us.
And we
Good night.
Will talk to you next week, Cindy. Good night.
Good night.